A Republican or a Democratic Congress won't change our nation. Our only possibility is the possible God.
Amen.
Now, I just want to take a moment, and you saw the kids. What a wonderful play. Shauna's probably back there passed out trying to recover her breath. Her brother-in-law came in and said, she's really nervous. You know, that can really be good or bad. Works.
Yeah.
You know, play football or playing hockey, if I didn't get nervous before, I might as well not even go on the ice or go on the field because I knew nothing was going to happen. But what a wonderful, wonderful morning. But I want to start somewhere where you might not have started. And I want to talk about the possible God. Because so often we miss some things in the Bible which are very important. We kind of take them casual. How many really have looked at Gabriel and Zacharias' conversation? Kind of interesting. And so I'm going to start with miracle after miracle after miracle, and I think I can do that in 3 minutes.
We're supposed to leave in the embassy.
Yeah. I can't even tell you my name in 3 minutes. Who am I? Anyway, Gabriel comes to Zacharias, and I'm just going to share this. By the way, the verse is, for with God nothing is impossible. How many remember that verse?
Amen.
That's my text. Can't talk about a message without having a text. We learned that in college. And a message with no text is a pretext. Seemed like I heard that somewhere. So Gabriel comes to Zacharias and said, Elizabeth, your wife, is going to have a son. Now, Zacharias was old, probably older than me, and that's older than dirt. But, and what are you nodding your head for? You don't nod when pastor makes fun of himself or he gets chewed out. No. And so he tells Zacharias, your wife is going to have a baby. And Zacharias looks at the angel from God and says, you got to be kidding me. Or, in other words, how do you know? Are you sure? And Gabriel did not answer him. When he questions Gabriel, Gabriel looks at him and he says his only words, I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God. He didn't say anything else except this. And because you don't believe, you're not going to be able to talk. Did you ever think about that? He talked himself out of it. He shut his mouth so that he can't ruin what God is planning for him. He learned some shut mouth grace. And so, God doesn't have to explain. If you're looking for God to sit down and explain everything to you, wait till you walk through the gates and you'll know. So Gabriel's kind of a traveling angel. So he travels to Mary. And he looks at Mary and says, you have found favor with God. I believe the Greek word there is charitu. You favored. Do you realize he says the same thing about us in Ephesians chapter 1? Can you accept the fact that you have favor with God? And he says, you're going to have a baby. And Mary has a question just like, how? I do not know a man. I've never been with a man. Basically, Mary's saying, hey, I'm a virgin. And Gabriel looks at her and says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And that which is conceived in you will be of God. Now, Mary had a choice to make. Mary looks at Gabriel and says, let it be unto me according to the word. And in that conversation, the statement is made that nothing is impossible with God. That's kind of interesting. How many remember a conversation between Jesus and Abraham? I believe it was Jesus to visit Abraham. And he tells Abraham, you're going to have a son. And Abraham does his stuff and has something else. He has a son with somebody else and comes back. And they said, no, that's not the one. You're going to have a son. And then he looks at Abraham and says, is anything too hard for God?
That's right.
Jeremiah 32:7. The verse says, there is nothing too hard for God.
Amen.
Nothing. So there comes a time in your walk with God, you have to be stretched. And so God puts you on his spiritual rack. He ties your feet and your hands so you can't run away. And he begins turning the crank. You see, because most of us are not filled with hope. Most of us are filled with hope until something happens that's wrong, negative. And then we have a hope check. And all God is doing by stretching us is letting us see where we stand. He knows where we are. People look at God and say, I'm going through a trial, so God knows how I'm going to react to stuff. He already knows.
That's right.
He understands. He made you. He put you together. He walks with you. He talks with you. He lives with you. He knows all the things about us, and yet he still says, they're the apple of my eye. And so we face things at times that make us skeptical. And skepticism and hope just don't function real well together. And so God puts things in your heart. And you look at those things, and they may not all just come together the way you thought or the way you planned or the way you figured. I just want to tell you something without hurting your feelings. Sometimes God's figuring in your life is a little bit deeper than yours. God can handle your questions. God can handle your doubt. The thing that God struggles with is absolutely total unbelief. He knows we're human, but he never gave us that for an excuse. He knows that we've gone through things. He knows we've been beat up. He knows that we've been hurt. He knows that there are other things coming that we're not going to really enjoy too much. But yet he never planted your feet on sinking sand. He planted your feet on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but only that which cannot be shaken will remain. And Christ is never shaken.
Amen.
Amen. 1967, December 26th. How many were born then? You were not. Really? How about I go 57? 1967. I had to leave home, International Falls, on Christmas Day, go back to Minneapolis, not only going to North Central University as a university now, when I was there, it was just a college. I left, they make it a university. But walk to work that day, start taking inventory, my phone rings. And my pastor says, Dwight, you better sit down. You know, that's not the greatest words to hear. And so while I sit down, he begins to inform me that my mom and dad were just killed in a car accident. So we load up, we go home, we do the funeral. Going to North Central at the time. Come home on New Year's Eve, go to Summit Avenue Assembly, and I'm sitting in a service. Not really in the service, but I'm there physically. And I'm thinking about mom and dad and what I wish I would have had time to tell them, and going through a lot of stuff. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit asked me a question. And the question is this: would you bring them back? And I suddenly realized that I am so caught up in what I'm going through and my feelings and my selfishness propped up. I didn't think and realize, and although we heard it, we knew that mom and dad are in the presence of God. Would I bring them back? No. But God at times will bring things to our minds to challenge our thinking so that he can renew our minds and put us in a place where the possible is bigger than the impossible. And that stretching is for our benefit. And we go through a lot of stuff, and we have how many have promises from God that haven't been answered yet? How many of you are still breathing? It's not over. It's not over. There are things that God has promised that he's going to bring us into, and we get there and we're going to look at God and say, I've been here before. But the possibility. So there's some shepherds on a mountain. It's very possible. If Christ was born in winter, I'll let you decide that. You know, it has nothing to do with getting to heaven, okay? You know, you can talk about whether Christ was in the grave 40 days or 3 days. Has nothing to do with getting to heaven. The main thing, he's not there anymore. And so these shepherds are sent an angel and a host of angels. And they're saying, for unto you is born this day in the city David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. You know the biggest miracle about that? Why didn't God know there was going to be no room? Huh? How many would send your son on a trip without making a reservation? You ever think about that? There had to be a reason he was laid in a feed trough. But the other thing is, why would God tell shepherds? They were out there, and if it was winter, they were probably watching the sacrificial lambs that were being raised and fed for the temple. You ever hear that before? Chew on it for a while. And so the sacrificial lamb that was going to be offered was born in the midst of the shepherds who could have been, and I'm not saying they were, could have been watching the other sacrificial lambs. Or why did three magi who couldn't talk, at least one couldn't talk, okay, I'm talking about Taylor. Why would he notify them through a star? Now, women, let me ask you a question. The gold and the frankincense are fine. Myrrh was an embalming fluid, embalming spice. How many of you, when you had your little one, would like somebody to bring you a little casket? Gold is for a king. Frankincense is worship, but myrrh is death. So everything was spoken of Jesus. One crack. And these kings, these magi, somehow knew what to bring. Okay, let me close. What are you struggling with? Have you been so burnt out through working and gaining and putting stuff together that life is just going to work or keeping working? There's some sickness in your body that you're dealing with, and it just simply seems like there's nothing changing. Maybe there's relationships you're working on. Maybe you were friends with the lady they're burying tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon that's laying out at the community center. 19 years old. And you're asking yourself, why? How did I miss it? Maybe somebody you know, maybe somebody you love is going down a wrong path, and you know the end of that path is destruction. You see, we love all people, but all paths don't lead to Christ. It's hard to figure out. There are paths that lead away from God. And we all have people, we all have friends, we all know someone that's making the wrong choices. And we look for, and we get frustrated, and we're looking for hope, we're looking for some reason. How do I reach them? And they don't want to hear. And so he says, is anything possible? You know, you might have a family member, you might have a child that's starting to go through rebellion. I was a prodigal. I was a brat. But I was a fun brat. When I became a pastor and went back to International Falls, it was almost like they wanted a news conference to find out what happened. But we never give up. We never put the impossibility in the place of the possible. We come to a place where we're always focused on Christ, believing and knowing that what he said is true. And holding on to that, making sure we don't go the wrong direction. Because the enemy likes to play with your mind and challenge the facts. And when we start playing games with facts and truth, we open a door. The fact is, my wife was very sick. The truth is, she's healed.
Amen.
We don't see it all the time. We don't see everything right now. Oh, by the way, she drove to Fargo the other day. Not a bad deal. Grandpa slept. That's peace. That's trust. I went to Brookings on Tuesday. I could see nothing. That's stupidity. That's driving by sound. We just do not begin to trust our thoughts when they're in competition with God's Word.
That's right.
And we don't just look at circumstances. We look at God, who's way above them.
Amen.
And we trust Him. And I want you always to remember, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The God of hope. He's a God of expectation. In fact, He has more expectation in you than you have in yourself.